Welcome to the Riverside Church Podcast. Riverside Church is a community of believers striving side by side for the gospel in the greater New Orleans area. For more information about Riverside Church, go to riversidelife.org.
Good morning to do that. Turning your Bibles to Acts chapter 6 and 1 Timothy chapter 3 is where we are. This morning we will continue-ish our series through the discipleship pathway. So far we've talked about that all throughout the month of August, so we'll continue-ish because this is not necessarily a part of the pathway, but you'll see what I mean in a minute. That we've had some interest meetings that have happened for men's and women's ministry. Our kids' ministry meeting is coming up this Wednesday, so anybody and everybody can show up for that if that's something that you feel led to be a part of. And then in these follow-up meetings that are planned on September 22nd and 29th, those ministries will start to take more formation as we continue to roll out those ministries. One of the pieces to this pathway is serve. And we are called to serve through things, as we've been talking about in these interest meetings, like men's and women's ministry will be a great avenue for service, and kids' ministry and student ministry and the like. And our hope is that you will be able to serve through some of those ministries. But something I wanted to focus on today is particularly servants in the church that we call deacons. This is something that showed up on some of your surveys that you turned in over the summer, and this is something that I thought would be very important for us to consider today as a church, because serving is such a big deal in the body of Christ that the Bible gives us an actual office of the local church that is actually called deacons, which literally means servant. And so this will be our focus today. The Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in other places denotes two offices in the church, perhaps even three, you could probably rightly argue. And that the Bible talks about pastors, shepherds, overseers, that as one office of the church. And we see that the Bible also talks about deacons in the church. And perhaps you could also say that being a member of a local church is another responsibility that you have in the local church. And you see this in Acts chapter 6 when the apostles, we devoted ourselves to ministry and to the preaching of the word, and we see we need to set aside some deacons, some servants in the church. But did you notice that they called the whole congregation together, these other spirit-filled believers who had the responsibility to help the apostles set aside and identify and name some of those men that they thought would be appropriate for a job like this? And so we see all the time throughout the Bible, I said this in one of our meetings, that there's no passengers on this ship. There are all crew members. So we all have a role to play, whether you are an elder or a deacon or a member of a local church. You all play a part. Everybody has a part in the body. Why do I tell you this? Everybody listen to this, even if you're not a deacon or will never be a deacon. You will have much to learn from this, because every part of the body is important. We were playing a game this weekend called Herd Mentality with our family, and it's a simple game you can play with your kids. You ask one question, and all the group writes down their answer to this question, a simple answer to a question, and you try to see if you can all say the same answer to the same question and have this herd mentality where you all respond the same to a similar question. And the question that we came across this weekend was, what part of the body could you do without? And so we're going around. Some of us said ear because you got two of them or something like that. But we get to one member of my family, and she says, all of them. The Bible says we need all of the parts of the body, and all of them are important. I was like, wow, you've really thought about this. 1 Corinthians tells us this, that every part of the body, and we had to explain, that's the church body, you understand. And we all are parts that we play in the body, and so all of them are important. And we can't do without elders, we can't do without deacons, and we can't do without church members who simply serve the body of Christ. They're all important. So wherever you are on that, listen in is my point. All of us are servants, but the Bible does make a specific office of the church that deacons aren't people simply serving on a committee, but they are a particular group of people that are leading servants in the church. And so that's what we're driving at today. Deacons are leading servants in the church. Before we get to Acts chapter 6 and look at some of those particulars, let's consider for a moment deacons throughout history. Deacons throughout history. Let's just make some quick remarks about this. In his book, Dining with the Devil, Oz Guinness makes this observation that he heard from a Japanese businessman. And here's what this Japanese businessman said. He says, "Whenever I meet a Buddhist leader, I meet a holy man. But whenever I meet a Christian leader, I meet a manager." Now, he was overwhelmed by this Christian, because he says, unfortunately, sometimes this can be true, that pastors are seen to function as CEOs, leading the organization, leading the corporation, leading in that manner. And then deacons, in some cases, look more like a board of directors that keep the CEO, keep the pastor in check, giving him his job description and making sure he's following through. And oftentimes in modern history, churches can look like that at times, as a pastor, as CEO, and deacons as a board of directors. Instead of looking like church people, we look like worldly people. And truth be told, this is sometimes how it looks. But historically, that has not been the role of pastors or deacons. From the earliest days in the church, and we'll see more of this evidence in a minute, we see the church having elders, deacons, and church members. Philippians chapter 1:1, as Paul is talking about addressing this church, he says, to the saints, to the overseers, and to the deacons. And so throughout the first century, we see these offices of the church. In the first several centuries, the diaconal tasks were varied a bit, but they mostly focused on assisting the work of ministry, especially like tasks during worship. Whether it's scripture reading or welcoming guests or making sure widows and the single among them were well taken care of, deacons weren't board members that walked around with inflated senses of importance, but they were humble servants who were not afraid to serve and wash feet. Deacons throughout history were the leading servants of the church. Now, over time, that began to change, and even at one point in the Middle Ages, there were things such as archdeacons as they began to take more monarchical roles as churches began to develop, and eventually diaconate was merely a stepping stone to the priesthood. But during the Reformation, as biblical fidelity was being recovered, the roles of deacons began to be recovered as they began to care for the physical needs of the church, began to care for the physical needs of church members, and they also began to keep records and collect funds in the church. So in short, that's where deacons are and were throughout church history. But we don't need to look at church history necessarily, as I said a minute ago, as biblical fidelity is recovered. We start to see the role of deacons more clearly. So that's kind of deacon sightings in history. But what about deacon sightings in the Bible? I told you Philippians 1:1, as we see those roles distinguished as Paul addresses the Philippian church. But we also see in Acts chapter 6 what many believe, and I tend to think, is at least in seed form the beginnings of and what would become the roles of deacons in a local church. And so we're going to consider Acts chapter 6. The office of deacon is not specifically named here, but the word deacon is used. Let's hear this again. In those days, the disciples were increasing in number. There arose a complaint by the Hellenistic Jews against the Hebraic Jews, and their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the whole company, all of the saints, spirit-filled, spirit-sealed believers, and said, "It would not be right for us to give up the preaching of the word to our God and wait on tables, serve tables, and deacon tables." And so they developed a role, laid their hand on, and set aside 7 men to do this deaconing duty that had arisen in this church. Now, let's consider the context of Acts chapter 6. What's going on is the church is increasing. It says here the disciples were increasing in number. So the word of God is spreading like wildfire. The word of God is spreading throughout Jerusalem and people are being saved. People are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. The church is increasing in number. And so oftentimes in good days like this, there's this great momentum, this great move, and the church is spreading and conflict comes. Just because conflict comes doesn't mean they're doing something wrong. Oftentimes when things are going good is when conflict comes and tries to disunify the movement of the Spirit that is among the people of God. And this is what's happening here. The church of Christ is growing. It's advancing. And a conflict has arisen that is bigger than it may first appear. Did you notice the conflict that has arisen? Conflict and problems don't have to be detrimental to a church if they deal with it in a godly way. How we deal with problems can lead to more problems, or they can cause the body to unify and to continue to prosper. Problems can form us and shape us and grow us. They don't have to sink us. So a conflict has arisen. Did you notice the conflict? Widows are being neglected in the daily distribution. It was very important for the early church to take care of widows. Our next sermon series is going to be through James, and true religion is caring for orphans and widows. This is a responsibility for the church to care for widows, and they see this in the early days in Acts chapter 6. But there became a dispute. The Greek-speaking Jews, those who had probably lived for some time outside of Jerusalem and picked up some other cultural indicators like speaking the Greek language, and the Hebraic Jews, those who were more pure Jews at this time who actually spoke Hebrew, there were two cultures that were now being brought together in this church. And there were two cultures of widows, the Hebraic and the Hellenistic. And they were gathered together, receiving the daily distribution, and it started to appear that the Hellenistic Jews, those widows, were being neglected. And this was causing problems in the church. This good thing, like taking care of widows, could lead to a very deep problem. Now, a simple solution could just be say, well, let's give them more food, but there was this fault line that was really about to split open because it became personal. It became cultural. That perhaps they could say the very reason that you are neglecting them is because they are Hellenistic and you think poorly of them. There was disunity and this cultural tension that began to rise to the surface as they tried to meet these needs. And you know this. In churches, right? Even in relationships, as people come together from different backgrounds and different being raised differently and all this, you put a bunch of people into the room and the church starts to grow and increase. Some of those tensions start to rise to the surface and people think differently and maybe look differently. And so some of those tensions can rise in moments where you least expect it. Like a good thing, like feeding and taking care of and distributing resources to widows, as it was here in Acts chapter 6. And so a major conflict was starting to brew. It was much bigger than daily distribution. A greater conflict was looming. It was the lack of ministry and the word and prayer. The ministry of word and prayer could have been neglected if the apostles would then give their time and attention to this task. And this church would be divided. So the ministry of the word is being threatened. Unity is being threatened. And ultimately, gospel witness is being threatened. That's what's at stake. And that's the conflict that has arisen. And they respond to the solution. Do you notice the response in Acts chapter 2 and 6:2 and 6:3? The 12 summoned the whole company of disciples and said, "It would not be right for us to give up the preaching of the word and deacon tables. Brothers and sisters, select from yourselves 7 men of good reputation, full of wisdom, whom we can appoint to this duty." So notice what happens here is that the congregation is involved. The congregation is called upon. Help us to set aside 7 men that will be able to help us and to deacon and to serve tables. So this is the apostles call a family meeting and say, we need a solution to this problem, and we're trusting you Spirit-filled believers to help us think through. So they recognize this need and they recognize priorities, and notice what some of their non-negotiables are as they respond to this need. The apostle says that we are called to the ministry of the word and prayer. He says here, we'll devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And so they say, this is what God's calling has been on our lives. And by the way, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we see that with elders, pastors, overseers. That one way that they're different from deacons is the Bible gives them this qualification that they must be able to teach. And so here we see, I think, the beginnings of these two offices. And so what we see here is they said, no, our calling is to minister the word of God and to prayer. And we can't neglect that, okay? Here's another non-negotiable. These real needs, like widows being cared for, we can't neglect that. We can't stop that ministry. We can't stop helping people in need. We can't stop waiting tables. We can't stop caring for the physical needs of the people among us. We can't stop doing that. We need both of these things. One's not like better than the other. We need this to keep going on. That's a non-negotiable. And so the real non-negotiable is, how can we all play our God-given roles and see the gospel advance? And so that's the question. Those are the non-negotiables, and this is what their response must include. We must maintain preaching the word and prayer. We must maintain caring for those who need it. Matt Smithurst, in his book on deacons, says Acts 6 is a story of church conflict handled well. The seven weren't merely deployed to solve a food problem. Food was the occasion for sure, but it wasn't the deepest problem. The deepest problem was a sudden threat to church unity, that cracks were suddenly surfacing and spreading, and they needed men strong and wise enough to help mend these fractures. And so they set aside seven men. So their response, they have these non-negotiables of what must keep going on, and their response is not to do away with this or just to come up with better organization. Their response is people. These, as some call deacons, shock absorbers, to deal with these shocks that can derail a church very quickly. Recently, I was going to a meeting in New Orleans, and I had to drive down Franklin Avenue. Have you ever been down Franklin Avenue? You will hit some potholes where you will think that your soul has just left your body. And you will get out not to check your car, but to check to make sure body and soul are still intact. Have you hit potholes like that? You're riding along, not even thinking about it. This can happen to churches. We're riding along, things are going good, and all of a sudden you hit one of those potholes. I did not see that coming. And deacons are those servants who help fill those potholes, direct them around them, and to help us navigate those things so they do not derail and cause the wheels to fall off. That's what they needed, men to help them deal with that. So their solution, here's where we're going, their solution is what? Not better organization. They have these non-negotiable, but their solution is servants. What the church needs are waiters, servants, table waiters that will be these shock absorbers, and they get the whole congregation involved. You help us set aside these men for this task. So let's consider more specifically about these servants. What do they do? We see several things here, and I've told you several things throughout history, but let's make some remarks here that the office of deacon exists to assist the leadership, to assist the elders in the church, so that distractions and pressures that would divert us and potholes that would cause the wheels to fall off are taken care of in the body. These are needed tasks, important tasks, necessary tasks, tasks that absorb shocks that we might feel along the way. Many might hear the word deacon and think that these are dull or menial tasks that few people want to do, but this is not the case. This is precious work that must be done. Matt Smyther says like this, the apostles did not delegate this problem to others because it wasn't important. They delegated these problems because it was so important that these things be dealt with. And so diaconal ministry is not nearly about checking boxes and doing tasks, but about men serving, helping to maintain a home where family not only lives, but thrives. And that's what the deacons are to do around Riverside and what they seek to do. To make sure this is a home where people can thrive, where the shut-ins and homebound and the people in need are taken care of. To make sure that resources are gathered and things like the Benevolence Fund are used to help people in our congregation. They're men that make sure the lights are on, the AC is on, so that when you come in, the coffee is made, the curriculum is there, and you can go on with Sunday school. They are men that make sure that you're greeted when you walk in and you're informed with a bulletin and you have a place to sleep. All those things that could be so distracting on a Sunday morning are not because of deacons. All the people that could feel neglected, they are called to seek to see that those people are not neglected and left out of the ministry of the church. And so we need deacons like that. Not because there's a bunch of menial tasks to do, but because there are such important tasks that need to be done that the Lord says, set aside men in order to do this. So that this can be a home where family not only lives, but families can thrive. So that's kind of what deacons do in general. So who are deacons and their task? That looks a little bit different between what churches you go to. You know, some take care of the budget and benevolence and ushering and greeting and the homebound and the sick and hospital visits and all of those things. But the basis of it, and whatever they do in that realm, in table service, who are deacons? We hear their task, but their mindset, they're shock absorbers, they're problem solvers, doing quiet but profound work. Important is what they do, something the Bible is very clear on, even though it may differentiate between churches of what deacons do, where they are to be servants, and we know that, and because each church has different issues they must deal with, and so deacons do all sorts of things. Ours do things like ushering and benevolence and buildings and grounds and Sunday school and caring for the homebound and caring for the shut-ins and things like that, hospital visits, all of those wonderful things. The Bible is very clear on who deacons need to be, is their character. The character matters. These are not just men that get stuff done very efficiently, but these are men of character. Do you notice what the apostles said? Brothers and sisters, select from among yourselves men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we can appoint to this duty. This task is so important that these men need to be people of good reputation, people well thought of, because their life is consistent with the gospel. Now, these need to be men who are noticeably filled with the Spirit, and here he says exhibit wisdom. They know how to apply the word of God to difficult situations, because they are often dealing with difficult situations, like the neglecting of widows and a distribution. And so what do we do there? We need people who can apply the word of God to difficult situations to find solutions that glorify God and showcase Jesus. Find men like that, congregation. That's what they ask. Congregation, you help find men like this. In 1 Timothy 3, Paul is clear again. Go ahead and turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 3. We see qualifications for overseers, pastors, elders. But then in 1 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 8, doesn't necessarily give you, okay, here are the to-do list of deacons. We don't get that, but here's what deacons are to be, these servants. Likewise, do you see it here? They should be worthy of respect. He doubles down on that. They're men of good repute. They're respectable people. And he says it again here in the Bible. The Lord does that. They must be respectful people, men of respect, not hypocritical. Not double-tongued, And so this work is so important that they must be men of character, of good reputation, and they must not be double-tongued, that what they say in one conversation is the same thing that they would say in another conversation. They don't say one thing to one people and one to another and start to cause division and unity in the church by being double-tongued. You can trust that what they say in one situation will be the same in another. They're not double-tongued people. And that's important. They're not hypocritical. They're sober. They don't drink a lot of wine. They're not controlled by drink, and they're not controlled by money. They're not greedy for money or any kind of dishonest gain, as it is translated out. And so how they deal with money matters. That they must be generous with money because it doesn't have a hold on them, and they must not be after personal gain. They're not after trying to make a name for themselves or trying to get money in their own pockets. They're not deceptive or obsessive with money. This job is so important. This office is so important. How we deal with these things matter. And here it says, holding the mystery of the faith with clear conscience. Now, it doesn't say they have to be able to teach, but they have to be men who are following after the Lord. And it's clear that they're following after the Lord, and they're not wavering on even difficult doctrines that we might come up with in, we don't come up with doctrines, but you understand what I'm saying here. They hold firm to the faith even in difficult matters. They're tested, it says, and they prove themselves blameless. Then they can serve as deacons. And the Bible also says, wives likewise should be worthy of respect, not slanderers, self-controlled, faithful in everything. Not to derail your thinking here, but that could be translated several ways. Either deacon wives, or it could be women that the deacons mobilize in order to help with these tasks, as deacons should do. And deacons are to be husbands of one wife, managing their children and their household competently. They're to be family men if they have wives. And for those who have served well as deacons, acquire a good standing for themselves and great boldness in the faith that is in Jesus Christ. That they are consistent even in the home. That these aren't men who are one way at home and a different way at church. This task is so important that the character and quality of people that are put in this position matters. And notice the outcome. Notice the outcome. Go back to Acts chapter 6. Go back to Acts chapter 6. This proposal pleased the whole company. They set aside these seven men. They prayed. They laid hands on them. Look at verse 7. Here's what's at stake. Chapter 6, verse 1. Disciples are increasing. Pothole. Deacons. Step in, men of good repute, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. They're able to apply spiritual wisdom to difficult situations. They're not double-tongued. These are men of good repute, good character, filled with the Holy Spirit. They're laid aside. They lay their hands on them. They set them aside, and they help solve this problem. And look at verse 7. So the word of God continued to spread. And the disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly in number. And a large group of priests became obedient to the faith. And so the solution to this problem were these table waiters called deacons that we have now, even in this church. And it was so important, that it was important for who we put in those places. They're not just people that get the job done, but people who point us to Jesus. And it was so important that they get this job done, and we see the outcome of this is that the word of God continues to increase. So what is at stake with deacons in a church is the word of God that's being preached by elders and pastors going out unhindered and going out with power because of the unity that's within the body of Christ that the deacons are helping to preserve. This is a glorious calling. This is a glorious calling. I want to give you one more thought. Why such a premium on serving? Why is this so glorious? I think this is the case because Isaiah prophesied that a suffering deacon would come, a servant would come, whose glory would come through humiliation and humiliation for the sake of his people. One who would come that would bear our weakness, that would come to people whose wheels had absolutely fallen off and would put us back together by washing our feet. I think this role is so important, and the role of deacons in the church is so important, because not only does this task need to be done, and these are good and worthy tasks, but the very reason why they're good and worthy tasks is because we ourselves are broken sinners in need of a servant. And so in a task, in a role like deacon, we're asking the question of how can we put Jesus best on display? And who will help show us Jesus, the true servant, the ultimate servant, the ultimate deacon who washes our feet? Jesus says it himself in John chapter 13 as they come to the Last Supper. Says that Jesus got up from the supper. He laid aside his outer clothing. He took a towel. He tied it around himself and he poured water in a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet and to dry them with the towel around him. And he came to Simon Peter and he said, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" And Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you don't realize now, but afterward you will understand." And Peter said, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." And Peter said, "Lord, not only my feet, but my hands, my head, my everything." Jesus was communicating something to them in that moment as he took off his outer garments, as he knelt down with a towel and a basin of water, that being served is the only way to be saved. That if you're here today, this is why you need to listen to this, and this is why deacons are so important. You have to admit that you need him and that you can't do for yourself what only he can do for you. One of the most difficult things for us is to admit that we need someone to serve us. Admit that we need a deacon to help us in the way that we cannot help ourselves. And Jesus says to his disciples that day, that night, that the only way to be saved is to be served. And you have to admit that you need to be served, that your feet need to be washed, and I have to do it, or you have no part with me. And so maybe some of us need to stop there, and this is what deacons are to show us. As they wash feet, as they do tasks of servants, as Jesus does for us. But Jesus goes on to say that this is an example that you should do just as I have done for you. He says, "This new commandment I give for you, love one another, serve one another, and by this everyone will know that you are my disciples." Here's what Jesus is saying. Not only is being saved and being served the only way to be saved, but being saved is the only way to truly become a servant. And that as we serve one another, people will see Christ in us, that we love one another, and they will know that you are disciples of Christ by how dirty your towel is from getting on your knees and serving one another and washing one another's feet. And this is the only way that we will ever be our true selves. This is the only way that we will enjoy what we are meant to be servants like our Christ, for we are not greater than our master. Jesus says, "You'll learn that as you follow me, that joy and happiness that you will find will not come from standing on platforms, but by kneeling down on the floor with towel in hand to wash one another's feet." That Christians with dirty towels and clean feet, that few things will do that we do make the gospel more beautiful and compelling than when someone sees Christians with dirty towels and clean feet. Dirty towels and clean feet, as one writer says, make the gospel clear. deacons are to lead the way in that, to make the gospel clear as they serve like Christ. Now, this doesn't mean that none of us serve. This means we do serve and just recognize others as they're leading the way in serving, and we too will lead in serving in that way. In fact, Paul says all Christians have this same attitude that is yours in Christ Jesus. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility considers others more important than yourself. For our Christ, who existed in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant, a deacon, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him a name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, and on heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you see that? That as we serve, as we adopt the mind of Christ, as we display the servant of Christ, as we serve one another and follow the way as deacons, lead the way in service. Do you see that? That more and more people will bow the knee to King Jesus as they see us serving one another. I would say the role of deacon is very important. It's crucial to the life of a church. And it's crucial to us seeing Jesus. And as we and others see Jesus, we pray that the word of God would increase at Riverside for the way that we serve one another. Let's go ahead and pray.